King, Mr. Cohn, actually, Helen is different from King.
I will not start out by saying that this is a simple case. This is a very complicated case. This is very, very low on the issue. What I think really is at stake here is whether, when the register is sturdy, and whether the risk is increased. And I think letting somebody go back to Nigeria and giving him back his passport, even though he comes back, is increasing the risk. Whether, if he gets a bad news, that it should be on a sort of estoppel theory if it's the government who does it, or an equitable theory is if it's the court who expands the risk. I think that the common sense answer is it should be on an equitable basis. So that when the surety signs on, he expects this guy is going to be permitted to go certain places and certain risks. And if it's expanded like it did in this case, it's sort of unfair to make him pay the full amount because the risk is clearly expanded and an equitable theory should apply and he should have to pay less. It's simple.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cohn. Ms. Murphy?
May it please the court and opposing counsel. I'm Madeline Murphy, and I'm appearing on behalf of the United States and asking you to affirm Judge Vagel's decision not to vacate the default judgment on the bond. The argument that you just heard concerning the equitable basis is a different argument than the argument...
Judge Vagel have chipped in a little here?
I'm sorry, Judge?
Shouldn't Judge Vagel have chipped in some here?
It chipped in a sense...
Well, he's really responsible for this default.
Wasn't it Judge Norville?
It was Judge Vagel. Judge Norville handled the initial bond hearing in the spring of 99 on an emergency
basis. Was it Judge
Vagel
who let him have his passport back?
Yes, Judge. But the fact
is... Why didn't you appeal? Letting somebody who had been a fugitive for 9 years have his passport back is such an extraordinary thing to do. One would think it would not have lasted 5 minutes.
Interestingly, Judge, he came back. Mr. King was allowed to travel to Nigeria, and then he returned to New York City. When he, quote-unquote, fled, he fled by not appearing in court in Chicago. But, well, he was under the ordinary conditions of bond, the same conditions of bond that Shamsuddin Shobhande signed on for. So the fact that he was allowed to travel twice indicates, and he returned home twice, indicates that the permission to travel did not materially increase his risk of flight, because the cause of his risk of flight was something other than actually traveling. The court can view the current argument today either on a waiver basis, because...
Was he ever picked up?
Mr. King is still at large today.
Because ordinarily, when you do appear... If the judges are receptive to letting sureties get out from under, or at least get out from the whole price here, $50,000, a lot of money.
Mr. King's whereabouts remain unknown.
Mm-hmm.
The court
does the surety have an opportunity if he does get picked up to come into court and have to be get some consideration?
I believe the surety can under those circumstances, Judge.
Especially if the surety helps bring the person back, right?
Yes, if the surety brings the person in, tied up in the trunk of the car, I think the judges would allow him relief from the obligation.
Why was the surety not notified before the conditions of bond were changed?
It's my understanding that it is the clerk of the court's obligation to notify the surety, Judge. I can't speak specifically as to why he was or was not notified of the change in conditions. But
why isn't it the defendant's obligation when the defendant seeks a change in the terms of release to notify the surety?
I would think that...
The problem is not why wasn't the surety notified after the fact. The question is why wasn't the surety there at the hearing to object? And I assume the surety, had he been present, would have said, if you're going to give this man his passport back, I'm no longer going to be a surety. And at that point, the man's bond would be revoked, and he would be taken back into custody.
The motion was brought by the defense, Judge, and I don't know that they notified the surety to be present in court when the initial motion was brought.
Yeah, but that's my question. Why shouldn't the judge, or indeed why shouldn't the prosecutor, have said this motion cannot properly be entertained until the surety has been notified? We run a legal system in which you're not allowed unilaterally to affect third parties' rights. That's what happened here. The defendant and the judge, between them, did something that affected a third party's rights, and without either one of them thinking they had to give the third party any notice, and without your suggesting it.
Judge, under these circumstances where the defendant had once before been permitted to travel and return, this is not a material change in the conditions of bond, because his history was that he would travel and then he would come back again to his home jurisdiction of New York and the initial conditions of bond would be resumed. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yes, well, there's no indication that the surety would have objected if they had notice period.
I'm sorry, Judge?
There's no indication that the surety would have objected. I mean, I assume that there's some pretty good relationship between... This isn't some stranger that came in to put up a $50,000 bond, appearance bond.
No, Judge, I believe they are relatives. And the fact that the surety waited quite a period of time to voice his objection to these circumstances, i.e., he did not come to court when Mr. King returned to the United States in late December of 2000 or early January of 2001, and did not come into court and then and say, wait a minute, Judge, you allowed this man to travel to Nigeria based on my $2,500 bond. I object to this, and I'm going to withdraw my consent if this is what the court is going to do. But he did not come into court and object to these circumstances after Mr. King returned from Nigeria. And in fact, we didn't hear anything from Mr. Shobande until actually the motion for default on the bond had been entered. So there is a timeliness issue here as well, Judge. As a surety, he is charged with the knowledge or the responsibility of inquiring into the whereabouts of the person, the defendant, whose presence he is insured by posting the bond. So here's a period of time here from January of 2001 until, I believe, March or April of 2002, where apparently the surety gave no indication to the court that he had any idea where the defendant was, where Mr. King was. So there is a timeliness issue here. But under the circumstances, considering that Mr. King left the country or left the jurisdiction and came back each time that the court allowed him to travel, the cause of his breach of the bond conditions was not the fact that he was allowed to go somewhere else. He breached his bond conditions when he was at home in New York under the ordinary conditions of bond. So under those circumstances, we'll ask the court to affirm Judge Shadle's decision not to vacate the default judgment on the bond.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Murphy. Mr. Cohen? It is strange for the government to argue surmise. Where is there any indication that the surety had any knowledge that Mr. King got permission to go, left, came back, left again?
If King came back to the United States, it doesn't look like the passport plays any causal role here.
I disagree.
And why would the surety be let off the hook?
I disagree, because you see, it's getting the passport back that gives you the opportunity to have a duplicate passport copied, made, used, and make arrangements in Nigeria for where you're going to go and hide. That's what that does. The first time he was given permission, he went to Louisiana. He didn't go out of the government. But clearly, I admit that we didn't prove, but it would be impossible to prove without Mr. King around. I mean, what he did with the passport and why. And it surmised that the surety...
Did he surrender the passport again when he came back?
No, I don't do that. I don't know. No location. The government would know, but I don't think he did. I don't know why I'm even asking for it again. You're a surety, you're post-bond. You're a surety, as you say, some type of notice. That's why what should come out of this opinion of this court is not only a decision, and I'm always asking the court to do more than maybe ask for in my own case, but that's why I chose to be a lawyer. I think you have to set up a procedure. I think there has to be a requirement. If the court doesn't have the power to require it, I'm not sure what your power is, at least to instruct. Whenever there's a surety situation, and one side comes in and wants to expand the condition, I think there has to be a requirement and notice to the surety. So he can, if he wants to, object. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Collins and Ms. Murphy. And the court will be in recess until 9:30 Monday, maybe.